Episode 338, January 1st, 2018.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
This is the Rob and Joe Show.
The Dave Chappelle and Louis C.K. of Fire Hall Comedy.
The Rob and Joe Show.
This is the racist Rob and racist Joe Show.
Some of their best friends are black.
The Rob and Joe Show, my two favorite guys.
You're listening to the Rob and Joe Show.
Come on, everybody, let's get to the brainstorming.
I worked with Rob and Joe before, and they do an amazing job.
Go back on that Rob and Joe Show.
The Rob and Joe Show.
Now on with the countdown.
With a combined 73 firings, if you count marriages in the Baltimore Comedy Factory, here's Rob Mayer and Joe Robinson.
We're working on New Year's Day, Joe Robinson. That's how we do it here at the Rob and Joe Show.
New Year's Day is different than working on New Year's Eve.
Which I also did.
So did I. Matter of fact, I have a story about that. I want to jump right into it. But I do the, as you know, I do the Ravens postgame. And I used to do the postgame show. But now somebody else does a postgame show. And I go to a bar and I find people that are willing to come on the air. That's what I do.
Right.
So I don't believe I'm allowed to because I think the management would be upset with me. But I sent you a video of the bar that I was in.
Yeah, it. You were the only person in it.
There were two people walking out. There were two people walking out in the video that I sent you. Did you notice that? Those two old guys?
Yeah, it looked it was the saddest place I've ever seen.
And that was about, I don't know when I sent that, but I needed to be on the air in about 10 minutes from then. So I'm supposed to find people. It's miserable because, first of all, everybody's an idiot. Nobody has anything good to say, right?
Well, especially not, I mean, if you don't know, you're not a Ravens fan or football fan. They lost, you know, in the last seconds on basically a miracle play.
4th and 12 to go to the playoffs.
Right.
And the other team converted the 4th and 12. Not only did they convert the 4th and 12, but they also scored a touchdown on that play, which put them up by 4 points, and therefore the Ravens had to drive the field for a touchdown in like 28 seconds or whatever was left.
And they didn't come close. So here you are. It's New Year's Eve. It's horrible weather. And the Ravens just got eliminated from the playoffs when they were probably about 90% to make it when the day started.
Here's if either Buffalo or Tennessee lost, they could still have lost and made it.
Yeah, they might have been higher than 90% because they were about a 10-point favorite. So basically, it was a perfect storm of horribleness, plus the bad weather, plus people don't want to they want to be doing something else for New Year's Eve, and now you're trying to talk to people in a bar.
Well, it's funny because we're supposed to have the post game playing over the speakers. Now, think about this. The game started at 4:25. It didn't even start at 4. And then it ran later than most games. And we didn't get on the air until 9 o'clock. And the postgame's 2 hours. That means it would end around 11. So it's 1 hour before New Year's.
Yeah, what's this bar thinking? It's New Year's Eve. You want to have some music, upbeat.
They weren't thinking. See, at the beginning of the year, what they did was they entered into a contract with 98 Rock and the Ravens to have people broadcast from their bar. That's what they did. But the other thing is the NFL changed this game from 1 o'clock to 4:25. So it would have been long over. It would have not interfered with it at all. But instead, I'm there, and people don't the people did start to funnel in, but it had nothing to do with the Ravens. It had to do with the New Year's celebration because New Year's was right around the corner. I mean, it was ready to start. And so I had to find four people every half hour to come on the air and talk to me. Now, the first two people I got to come on the air were the people that were work for 98 Rock. I said, look, you're just coming on.
And then you got the kitchen help.
No, I got those two, and they were bad. That's kind of funny. They weren't very good. And then I pulled a guy and just grabbed a guy. I said, are you a Ravens fan? He goes, yeah. He was from Virginia Beach. He didn't watch the game. So that was my third guy. Now, here's what happened. Brett, it was weird. Brett Hollander, who does the post game with Keith Mills. Keith Mills had to leave because of some traffic issue. I'm not kidding.
Okay.
So he leaves. So now it's Brett and Pete Gilbert. Okay, Pete Gilbert does sports for 1090 AM, WBAL, and Brett is a kind of a sports guy for TV, radio, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, he doesn't know that I am required to talk to people. I don't know why, but I'm required to talk to fans, which I hate. I'd rather just talk to them, but then they're like, well, why are we talking to you in a bar? You might as well, that doesn't make any sense. You have to act like you're having a good time down there, right? So I had the guy sitting there, you know, Christian from Virginia Beach. That's where he was from, Virginia Beach. And Brett started talking to me, so I just had a conversation. And about, I don't know, four minutes in, I'm thinking, oh, cool, I can save this guy. He can be my last guy. I don't have to use him. So while we were talking, I put on my phone, we might not get to you this segment. I gave him that, right?
Yeah.
So then I got this guy back, and he was awful. Okay, but then I finally got to leave and come home and celebrate.
So the guy who didn't see the game was awful?
He didn't. Well, he goes, I want to talk about that last play. Right? I go, okay. So I can't remember what he said. He goes, and then Andy Dalton threw, he didn't say can of corn. He said some other.
He tried to be funny.
He tried to give it a sportscaster term. Right, he kind of gives it right. And I go, I literally right there. I go, what? That's not a thing. Nobody says that. And Brett goes, I've heard a can of corn, but not whatever you just said, chopped celery or whatever the hell he just said, right? And then it went. Then after he said that and we shit on him, it went. It was like this awkward few seconds of silence, right? And I go, all right, back to you, Brett. And he goes, all right, happy new year. And then I rolled on out.
Well, hopefully we're sounding better today. Because we are doing our first show ever in the brand new studio, in the brand new home of one Joe Robinson.
Well, Robbie came over. Let me start a different
Yeah, we're all in the same room for the first time in years. Myself, Robbie, have you spoken yet? Say hello.
Hi, guys.
Hey. So, Robbie, I thought Robbie was coming at 8:30.
In the morning.
That's originally what he said he was going to do, right?
I'm glad I didn't.
No, I wish you had. Because I remember stressing out, thinking, God, if I don't wake up, you know, Robbie starts beating on that door, he's going to walk in here mad, which is always my biggest fear.
In.
Right, right. So I'm like, all right. And then I said, what time are you getting? He said, 10:30. And I said to myself, wow, good, a reasonable time. But Robbie and Marcus, they never got everything working. What we're doing now is going to work. But what we wanted to do is, Robbie, tell him, don't go too geeky, but what did you want to do that we can't do?
The main problem is that we have two major pieces of equipment that aren't working.
Yeah, that's a big problem.
So we could be sounding even better. That's the biggest thing. Two major pieces of equipment that were purchased specifically for the studio are absolutely not working, not incorporated into the whole system here. The second thing is I was unable to have us broadcast live and I couldn't, and that's it. Now, the one great thing is this little thing right here is that we can talk remotely now between studios with this little, that's working.
What does that even mean, talk remotely?
Meaning that is going to sound like I'm right in the room like I am today, but I'm going to be in Virginia.
Yeah, we've spent, this is thousands of dollars. We've taken, by the way, thank all our patrons. The money you've given us every month has gone to this. We've also had some people over the years, you know who you are, give extra special donations. We greatly appreciate that.
And yes, patrons, that's the other thing is I did want to record two shows today, but we barely got to one.
But I think we will put up the I think you had the idea of putting up the 98 Rock demo on Patreon.
Yes,
I think
we
that's
can do
a good
that.
Idea.
All right, we'll do that. We'll put up the 98 Rock demo, but
we still will owe them a Patreon episode for December, but we'll have to do it later on down the road. Well, I wanted to get it out of the way tonight because I figure we have.
Wait a minute, this show being recorded, the show that we were recording on January 1st was December's show. We're behind.
Sorry. I apologize. I mean January show.
All right, so we still have time to get.
Yeah,
it's
we're
the first.
Good.
We're okay.
Yeah, no, we got time. It's just that I was a little bit over, you know, confident.
But I'm excited because, it's easier to have a conversation with someone in any circumstance when you're in the same room. And now Joe and I, who obviously speak the most, maybe not to some of your liking, but we will always be in the same room. I will come over to Joe's house. It's only 30 minutes away. It's a beautiful home.
Thank you. Well, yeah, what do you think of my new house?
I like it a lot. You know, you got the great kitchen, the bathroom, the dual vanity. I like to see. We don't have a huge kitchen or the master bathroom like you have.
You do a lot of cooking?
I do the cooking, but Blue Apron. Give us something, Blue Apron. I do the cooking. I made a pizza today.
You did?
Well, frozen pizza. I heated it up. But
okay.
Yeah, Katie and Joe apparently worked their asses off because I've lived in my house.
Apparently.
I lived in my house more than 2 years now. I still have boxes around, okay?
You do?
So I walked in today expected to see boxes and stuff. No, the whole house looks perfect.
So I would say Katie worked her ass off. I worked hard. I mean, I did, but not the way that she did.
So since we last did a show, we had Christmas. You moved into your home. You put together this studio. We put on 3 murder mystery shows. Mm-hmm. And I had 9 stand-up comedy shows. So it's been a lot's happened.
Yeah, we're getting ready to in 16 days, the murder mystery will head to the Middle East.
Yes, we're going to the Middle East. I got to go get malaria pills.
Really?
Did I tell you? We got to go to Andrews Air Force Base and get malaria pills.
And you take them as a preemptive?
Yeah.
You don't want to get that.
No, you don't. You do not want to get that.
The pill keeps you from getting it?
Apparently. The problem is me and Eric and Tommy have to go together. And anytime, you know, they're together, the whole deal could be lost. They could do something. You know?
Is it true that in 1 out of 1,000 cases, the malaria pill actually gives you malaria?
I never heard that, but thanks for bringing that up. I know nothing, Robbie.
So how big would the pill have to be for you to say, I'll just risk getting malaria? You have to swallow it whole. It can't be broken.
How big?
Like if it was the size of a quarter.
Yeah, I'm fine with that.
And the width of a half an inch thick.
Now, I'm not worried about the size. I mean, if it tastes really bad, is that?
I mean, this is true. If they give me a malaria pill, you wouldn't know what it tastes like. So it could taste like shit, but by the time it's in your mouth, it's too late.
Well, couldn't I chop it up and put it in something? That's the same. But I'd still get
How about this?
You have to swallow it whole.
They hand you the malaria pill. They say, here's the pill you have to take. And on the pill is a skull and crossbones.
And they're all pointing and laughing as I'm about to
do it. Do you still eat it?
Well, I let Eric and Tommy go first.
Is there anything that could be written on it that you wouldn't eat it?
No. I mean,
if it said Rob Mayer dies.
If it says 5 plated clothing. It's a Chris Restivo reference. Happy New Year, Chris.
By the way, speaking of Chris Restivo for our fans, Justin Schlegel on the 98 Rock Morning Show shouted out to his financial advisor, Chris Restivo. It's pretty great.
You know what? I guess I should just tell you this, but I had Chris design a shirt for you, Joe.
That's your other Christmas gift.
But you know the hard part about this? Is I have to see Chris Restivo to get it.
What'd you
and
pay
that's
for
the
it?
Hold up.
What do you have to pay for it?
It's like $25. I mean, it's a beauty. Do you want to see it?
I do. I definitely want to see it.
He does not budge from that $25 price.
Right? No, but the hard part is, look, I'd rather it be $50 and I don't have to make a trip to see him.
That's $25 extra dollars. So how much would you be willing to pay to not see him? You wouldn't pay $100 to not see him.
I'd definitely pay $50. If he can just mail it to me or something.
Oh, $50 for the shirt.
The whole thing.
Would you pay $60 for the shirt to not see him?
I might. God. I mean, but it is a beautiful shirt. I think you're really going to like it.
I'll bet I wear the hell out of it.
Does it have a giraffe on it?
What is that? Let me see.
Says five plated, never estimated.
And there's an armadillo there. Oh, I'm gonna wear this.
But Joe will, definitely wear that thing.
Oh, I'll wear it. I'll wear it to the murder mysteries.
I just gotta find a way to get it.
I'm a little jealous.
What if it outsold our actual Die Laughing production shirts? We sold them both.
Well, good. I hope it does. It's a beautiful shirt. Never estimated. Yeah, we are. You know, 2018. I guess we should have some goals. I mean, clearly things are trending up. We have the studio. We've got the. We had a successful year of Patreon. The murder mystery is taking off. Is it time? Are we almost successful now, Joe?
I mean, I just had. I think I had financially my best year since 2008.
Yeah, I definitely had my best year ever.
Ever?
Yeah.
Good.
For sure.
Good. Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean. I mean, should we write them down like that kind of goal? You know, they like if you're Under Armour, you have goals in terms of percentage of growth. Right. You know, I mean, I think our goal should always be trying to get into markets that are either attainable or close. You know what I mean? That should be our goal. And I think we've done a pretty good job about that, but we've never really sat down. We just kind of do it. But would it change your behavior if you said, I'm not saying not to, but it would change what you did if you set a goal?
No, but I would like to set some, because like, for example, in 17, the huge thing was the military.
Yeah.
We did the shows in Jordan. We got this other thing booked. In terms of a new venue, Virginia Beach, we had two successful shows. We had a successful show at Jam and Java. So those are two venues that are now, definitely Virginia Beach is going to be an anchor.
Yeah, yeah. No, I mean, the show that we just had in Virginia Beach, I mean, it was one of our best shows. There was 328 people there.
Yeah.
And there was, and they started laughing the moment they walked in, and they were laughing until they walked out the door. It might have been the best show we ever had.
It might have been. And let's take a break real quick. We'll come back. We had three murder mysteries that were all, we don't want to brag, but they were amazing. So Rob and Joe should be right back.
Hey, it's Justin from the Justin Scott and Spiegel Morning Show. You may remember me from my critically acclaimed role as Bucky in Death of a Dentist. Well, my next star turn will be in a show called The Newly Dead Game, another original, hilarious, interactive comedy whodunit from the minds of Rob and Joe. Imagine, you're in a TV studio at a taping of the very popular game show Clash of Couples. I'll have a starring role, and if you're very, very lucky, you might play a part too. You might even be the murderer. It's going to be incredible, and there's going to be a limited number of performances, so don't miss it.
Next performance, Friday, January 26th at Amp by Strathmore in Bethesda. For upcoming show dates and more info, please visit DieLaughingProductions.com.
Now, back to the Rob and Joe Show.
So we had December 19th, Murder Mystery at the DC Improv, the 22nd at Virginia Beach, and then we turned around the 23rd and we had Magoobies. We had, I guess it was over 1,000 combined.
Yeah, if you combine all three shows, it was the most people we ever had in a three show increment.
So I started freaking out on Sunday night before the improv show because Tock Moffitt, he's in the Christmas Murder Mystery. He lives in Chicago now. And I talked to him. He was coming home for the holidays. His family lives here. About him being, you know, being in the murder mystery again. And he had said yes. And then I was like, wait a minute. Did I confirm with him that he would be back for the improv show, the 19th? And then I started freaking out. Wait a minute. Because he's in this video that sets up the entire show. So you can't just replace him because he's a known character. And then I end up reaching out to him. He goes, yeah, I'm coming in Monday night. I was like, oh, thank God. I don't have to worry about that nightmare. So then I'm having trouble sleeping Monday night. I wake up as Tawana's getting ready. I look at my phone. It's 6 a.m. He said he missed his flight Monday night.
I've never missed a flight, by the way.
Well,
never.
Me neither. You know what he did? He told me later. He, an attempt to save money, rather than driving there and parking and paying whatever it is, he tried to take public transportation, whatever their metro version is, and I guess he didn't time it out right. He was so late. When he got to the airport, the flight was boarding. He wasn't even close. He wasn't like he was running to the gate and they just shut it. He was like an hour and a half away.
Why didn't he just Lyft or Uber there?
I don't know.
That's crazy.
So now all day, it's like, well, I'm on standby for this 11 a.m. flight, and then I missed that one. Then there's a 1:30, and then so we're struggling. We have to find someone. we basically had to get a guy that looks, he's just black. That's the only resemblance. He looks nothing like Doc.
It felt kind of racist where we were just naming black people that we knew to see who we could get to do. We could get to play this role. But we couldn't have gotten a black guy that looked less like.
We couldn't have.
Unless it was an albino black guy. So the only way we could have gotten a black guy that looked less like Doc was, and we got Haywood Turnipseed Jr.
Yeah, so so that was the stress of that.
Well, hold on. Let me just say this about, by the way, I love Haywood.
Yes.
I think he's a great guy. I think he's hilarious. However, we were doing Act One. It's the very beginning of it. And Haywood had his very, very first line. He didn't know it. His first line.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, if you're going to memorize any line, it's got to be your first line. If you don't know your first, you sure as hell are going to know your second.
Yeah. At least memorize Act One, and then in intermission, let's try to work on Act Two. But no, I think he had about, probably has like four lines. I believe he was 0 for 4.
Yeah, he didn't get any of them.
Looking back, we should have, because we acknowledged, he had to acknowledge the audience. So look, hey, we know that this is not the same guy, but he missed a flight. And that got a laugh, actually. We should have had him just reading lines. We should have went full, look, this is what happened.
And yeah. Yeah, you're right. That wouldn't have made the dance any better. But
no. Well, so it's well documented that I'm a bad dancer. I think we actually showed the video of us rehearsing this dance for the very first time and me not getting close. Well, that was 2 years ago. And as bad as I was in that rehearsal, I think I was worse the night of.
It is weird. The thing that's strange is not that you don't have a lot of rhythm, right? I mean, I don't have a lot of rhythm. But we do the Rockettes just for four beats. Knee, foot, knee, foot, knee, foot, knee, foot. Rob can't lift his knee up.
Well,
he sticks his leg straight out like Frankenstein whatever.
Physically I can, but I have to get momentum up.
It's just, I didn't understand how you can't kick. I'm doing it now. I mean, I didn't understand it, but Rob got mad at me. He goes, I can't do it. What do you want? I go, okay, all right, sorry, man. I mean, you're robbing me a little bit.
Did I get mad at you?
Yeah, he literally got mad at me. I go, well, you're the one that can't dance. What are you mad at me for?
And other people hadn't done the dance. That Tommy, for example, had forgotten the dance. Anyway, it was the worst dance we've ever done.
We never had it as bad. Everybody, and I was watching like, God, this shit. Because when you nail it, it's such a great moment.
Yes.
But when you don't nail it, and maybe it's me knowing what it's supposed to be, I was like, are you fucking serious? It literally looked like you know what it looked like? In the Charlie Brown Christmas. When you know when they do that when Schroeder plays, yeah, and everybody's doing a different dance.
Well, you know what? I have the video. I mean,
you do?
I think we have the video of that show. I think the Improv has it.
Oh my God!
So maybe I'll try to edit that. The funny thing, the only people that probably did the dance well are Eric Woodworth, the largest man, and then the girl that had never been in the show before.
Well, Eric is really the only one who just nailed it. Everybody else wasn't really. And Justin can dance, and so can Tommy. But they didn't. They couldn't do it. Which I don't know if you're ready to go in this direction. But they did it 3 days later in Virginia Beach, and we have a video of that. And they absolutely nail it. But one thing about that is there's two black people in that dance.
Yes, that helps.
So that helped out immensely. Now all of a sudden there's rhythm, and then the guys who kind of I remember this dance, and Rob was out of it.
Yeah, we eliminated me. I think I convinced you that the stage was too small. It really was just because the stage is huge in McGoobies, I was not in the dance.
Yeah, you know, I noticed. I wasn't going to fight you on it.
I don't think anyone's missing me. So we go.
Knee lifts.
We end up. It was sold out. We end up having a good show. I mean, it was fun. And then, but Virginia Beach, you mentioned this earlier. It was one of the, because they were raucous. They were ready to go. They were definitely drinking. I mean, this was a Friday night. This is the start of their holiday weekend. They were getting after it.
Yeah, it was exciting to see it that full. I don't know. I feel like the 23rd, you know, we've had shows on the 23rd, and we've had shows on the 26th. We had a show on the 26th at McGoobies, and we had a show on the 23rd at Virginia. I'm sorry, at McGoobies again, and then on the 22nd at Virginia Beach. I guess people don't care that it's that close to Christmas. I got to quit thinking that that's going to interfere, because it doesn't.
They were ready for Christmas. Some were dressed up. We had a couple big parties, a birthday party. They were dirty. I mean, there was moments that they were.
Yeah, one time there was a girl. You know, people come up and they get on Santa's lap.
Right.
And there was one, she was a little bit of a problem with her, how vocal she was during the show. But when she sat on Santa's lap, what was the exact quote? What did she wish for?
She goes, "I want to get disability on his broken ass dick."
She basically shit on whoever her man was out in the audience.
Yeah.
I guess he can't get an erection, and she let the entire audience know that. Now, she doesn't know how disability works. She can't get disability, nor can he. They don't care if your dick can work. They care about whether or not you can hold down a job, but yeah.
You didn't give her a free consultation after the show, Joe?
No, I didn't do that, but God, to humiliate him, but it was pretty fucking hilarious. But still, I mean, I'd be like, hey, why'd you tell everybody that I can't get an erection? I wouldn't want anybody to know that.
And we actually, I did put the video of the dance of Eric singing "All I Want for Christmas Is You," followed by the dance, on the Die Laughing Productions Facebook. So check that out. We also had, there was, you didn't, Robbie wasn't there, but there was this.
Wait a minute, you know why Robbie wasn't there?
Because the sound room is too small.
He won't do it in the sound room because it's too small. He won't go.
It's also 3 hours away.
It's the combination of the length of time it takes me to get there, and then I have to be miserable when I'm there doing the show.
It is weird how, I mean, Robbie, he hates to be inconvenient. He hates it. He needs everything. It must be miserable to live that kind of life. Everything has to kind of just be yellow brick roaded to you. But yeah, if it's not just, you know, he doesn't want to participate.
Well, I heard that guy down there did a great job.
He did a great job.
He did. I mean, we definitely walked him through it and some of it, and Joe was back there for a lot of it. But yeah, it was pretty seamless. He did a good job. There was a moment. This is why I like the murder mystery. You have this organic moment in the crowd that you can't write it. You can't have a cast member do it. And there's a particular part of this particular murder mystery where Justin is going around to the audience, and they're saying issues they had with the boss, the shitty boss at this company. And there's a line in there where there's a line where a female says he took a dump in the woman's bathroom, which is followed up by a guy saying he took a dump in the men's bathroom, just says, no big deal. And then he goes, in the urinal, haha, while I was using it. And it's if the pacing is right, it pretty much always does.
Yeah, yeah.
But this black guy, he had on this some kind of loud shirt and hat. And when he started to say the line, you thought, is he going to fuck it up? And then I thought, oh, is he drunk? And then he said the first line good. And then he said the second line good. And I'm like, wait a minute. Maybe he's got this timing on a higher level than we've ever written.
Right.
And then he said the third line perfect. So it was like this. It's like how, like, Will Ferrell or some actor, they'll have, like, this crazy moment, and you're like, well, that every beat was scripted. Every single little nook and cranny made that laugh. He did that, and it was just natural. The way he delivered it, we could never write that.
We should have hired him.
We should have. Yeah, and it crushed, and Justin just bowed to him. It was amazing.
We should have I should have been getting some credit. I was the one that picked that guy.
Yes, you are a world-class picker of people.
Pretty good at it.
Yeah.
Pretty good.
No, it is. It's one of the top 10 things you're good at.
Top
in the world,
10, please. Yeah. This is number one.
Top three.
Free fall to number two.
And we had one of those moments at Magoobies, and I think that's now going to be incorporated into pretty much all the shows.
What's that?
When Eric called for Genuine My Pony.
Yes.
And I had it on my computer. I started playing, and he started dancing to it.
That was the biggest shock because, A, there's this sexy black woman sitting on Eric's lap, and he, you know, referenced some rap song from 1994. And so he's asking Robbie to do two things you would be surprised. An audible, something not in the script.
Not in the script. If you deviate even a little bit, he flips the whole table over, right?
And to have this song. But apparently, Robbie, it was on one of his sex mixtapes, I guess.
It was. That's exactly where I pulled it from.
Really?
Yes.
You know what the irony is that his ex-wife was cast to be Roz, the sex therapist in our Sing for Your Life, but she moved away, right?
Soleil, yeah, she's in Atlanta now. But we had four people do their first show with us. Well, I guess one had done one previously, but thank you to Haywood Turnham, C. Dennis, Denise Taylor, Catherine Jessup, and Kristen Seville's down in VA Beach.
LaughingProductions.com. Kristen Seville's not the other one. Everybody did a fine job, but Kristen Seville's,
yeah.
I was even watching her in the video of the dance. She was out fucking standing. So anytime we're down there, she's in it.
Definitely. And but she was pregnant too, and that added some humor to it. No, she was really good. So whenever we do VA Beach or Richmond, as long as she's not having a baby, we will definitely be looking out for you, Kristen.
How do you like the artwork, the new artwork in the studio there, Rob?
I love it. We have in the studio, we have a drawing that Robbie did of Ralph Sampson and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
Correct.
1984 or something.
Well, Robbie, I don't know where that picture is. I mean, the picture from Sports Illustrated was actually an ad for Sports Illustrated that said when 7'1 isn't tall enough or something like that. Right. Because Ralph Sampson blocking Kareem's shot. But Robbie, I think you did that probably, what is it, 88? Is that when you did it?
It was, yes, about round 88.
Yeah, 1988.
Yeah, that's as bad as I am at dancing, I think I'm worse at drawing. That fascinates me, Robbie. Then you have this concert tour poster.
It's not even a tour, it's before they were discovered, really.
The Smiths, Salford University?
Yeah, I mean, they were, that was right around when they started happening, but yeah, that's. That's from an early show, a concert poster from an early show. And then what you gave me for Christmas, Rob, my Tom Petty art.
Which Robbie called a Wikipedia. thank you for shitting on that, Robbie. And made then, Mac Bergson's night.
And then the sound waves from the movie, I mean, sorry, from the Peter Gabriel song, In Your Eyes. Which is not really for you guys. That's Katie gave that to me 1 year.
I understand.
I like the sound waves, and I like the sound wave curtains over here, too. Like
those curtains are sound and noise reducing, the curtains.
We will take pictures of all this, maybe even some video, so you guys can see what you paid for. Yes. Joe, let's talk about your Christmas.
Yeah, no, we had a great Christmas. Now, you know, I was living at Gramps.
Right.
And the day after Christmas, I moved out.
What a gift.
And we talked about it on the show where my father watches television on a TV. I'm telling you, if you go from its widest point, it's close to as the size of the screen. Would you agree? If you go its widest point,
it absolutely is as deep as it is wide.
I don't know if I told you this. They carved out the back of an entertainment center to fit the back of this out of the entertainment center.
Yeah, they had to cut a hole in the back of the
Now, I don't want to exaggerate. I know it weighed 200 pounds.
Oh, my God.
Easy.
I know it weighed 200. It might have weighed more than that. We had to get it out with a dolly. It was me and her and Katie's dad were moving it around, and Robbie had to move it like an inch. He was like, this is exactly what I did. He was furious. He was furious because, you know, he doesn't want to deviate from you. He's like, I'm not moving any of it. And he had to move it. How far do you have to move it? A foot, foot and a half?
Two, 3 feet.
Yeah.
And now Robbie was with Katie's dad at some point?
They were there today. Today, Katie's dad was
I'm
over.
I'm curious of that dynamic at some point.
He was here putting up that thing.
Yeah,
He did a great job.
So, anyway, so Robbie got mad that he had to move it two. He said 3 feet. I say two. But yeah, he had to move it 2 feet. He was furious. Well, anyway, we had to get rid of this thing. Of course, my father, it's so frustrating because all he does is he goes, well, I thought it was perfectly fine. Do you understand? It was as wide. I mean, just think. You know, all I need to tell you about this television is that it was as wide as the as it was long.
Right. Yeah.
You know it's a piece of shit.
Of course.
That's all you need to know. And my father was like, why don't I just put it on the curb and see if somebody will take it? I said, Dad.
What?
First of all, nobody can physically take it. You can't get rid of it.
Oh, look at that. I want that. No one would want. You would have to. How much would you have to be paid to put that in your house?
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Right. Like an antique. But not just that. But, you know, you can't give those to Goodwill.
No.
They won't take them.
That's like F you.
So anyway, so I said, we'll get rid of it for you, Dad, because we were moving. We were going to put it on the U-Haul and find a place for it. Right.
Sure.
A dumpster or whatever. Now, Robbie informed me you're not allowed to throw those things in the dumpster, but sorry to know that. Anyway, so we get it, and what's the first thing my dad says to Katie's dad? The first thing he says to him.
How hot your daughter is?
No, he goes, I thought it worked perfectly fine. He immediately started defending this television. Now, meanwhile, I got him a smart TV. He immediately starts defending it, right? So is that moving? Oh, it is. Sorry.
Yeah.
Anyway, so he immediately starts defending it. And I'm just like, are you kidding me? So we try to get out. And it's wider than the door. By the way, it's a 36-inch television. Do you understand? It's wider than the door. We can't get it out. So we have to...
It's 20 years old, probably, right?
At least, right? Yeah. We have to... he swore it's high def. I go, Dad, it doesn't have an HDMI cable. It doesn't have an HDMI port. It can't be high def. He swore it had the white, red, and yellow right. going into it. It's not high def, but he said it was. Anyway, I said, no, Dad, it's not. So we get it out, but we had to turn it... I don't know if you can understand this. We had to turn it up on its on side. Like if you were to look at that screen,
angle it.
Right? No, we had to, if you turn that screen this way and carried it out where the top is now the side.
Right.
That's how we had to carry it out. Then we had to roll it up the ramp and get it into there. Okay.
Oh my God.
Well, now we have it in there. It's I wish there was a way to have weighed it, but I know it was over 200 pounds. Anyway, there's a picture of it. Look, there's a picture of it.
That's actually that's actually my TV. I had the exact same style TV a long time ago.
Turn around. Let me see it. Yeah, Dad's is wider than that. I mean, it's deeper than that. Anyway, so we get it up on there. Well, Katie's dad's like, I have a friend. We're going to put it in a dumpster on his lot.
Nice.
Said, okay. So he goes, you know where that taco place is? I do. Gina's Cantina. I think you've been there with me too. But it's a little place on, what's that, Veterans Highway. Anyway. So he goes, meet me up there. So he drives the van full of all our stuff and my dad's television into this lot. And he goes, hey, just kick it off of here. Like he doesn't want to carry it. He just wants to kick it off. So we kick it off. It hits the ground, splits in half. Okay. So.
But it was fine.
This guy walks over and goes, what are you guys doing? Right?
Oh, jeez.
So Katie's dad's like, don't worry about it. I know what Wilson or whatever the hell this guy's name is, right? And by the way, when we dropped this guy's name, he was like, oh, sorry. Okay. Sorry. Apparently that's the boss, okay. Right? So he goes, what do you want us to do? Do you want us to? He goes, I'll just drag it over here by the dumpster. He grabs it by the cord in the back and tries to pull it, and it splits in two. He now has half of it. So he takes the piece with the cord on it and he throws it up into the dumpster and he tries to lift. Half of it. This is like some 25-year-old strike. Can't do it. Okay? So he gets it. He's like against the dumpster. He's pushing it up the side. And all of a sudden, he hits the side and he goes, psst. Like there's something like a tube in it. Okay? And I was like, what the fuck is that?
It's
right?
Alive.
He then tries to. He can't get it in the dumpster. He can't do it. So we're like, all right. He goes, oh, don't worry about it. And we leave. It can't physically be lifted into a dumpster. Anyway, so my father now again has his beautiful new TV. And he says there's no difference. By the way, I go, Dad.
No difference.
I go, Dad, the score that you never know the score to a football game because it's cut off on your TV. So look down there. Do you see that? Do you see the teams that are playing? How much time's left? What quarter you're in?
Oh, you're the best, Gramps. Let's take a break. We'll wrap this thing up. Rob and Joe Show.
Hello, my name is Rob Robinson, but you all know me as Gramps. If it weren't for me, there would be no Rob and Joe Show. If it weren't for my DNA, you'd be listening to the Rob and Ramin Show. Or worse, if I decided to stop at one offspring, you'd probably be listening to the Dan Ninen Show. So I'm speaking to you as someone who has provided you with top-notch entertainment for over half a decade. Become a Rob and Joe Show patron on Patreon. Go to patreon.com/Rob and Joe Show. Do it now so you don't miss out on the premium content and some other great stuff. I did it. So should you. Now, back to the Rob and Joe Show.
So are you going to miss living with Gramps? I mean, a part of you, or are you just so glad to be out of there?
Well, to be honest with you, so you got to look at it this way. I got separated from my wife in, when did we go on that cruise? 2012?
Yeah, sounds about right.
So... It's 2017. I mean, it's been...
Might have been 11.
It's 2018, sorry.
Yeah.
So I've been literally living like a nomad for 6 years. Before...
True.
I left my parents' house, I moved twice. You understand? I moved two times. That's it. And then since I left my house in Crofton, I moved to my parents. I moved to an apartment. I moved to Landlord Phil's. I moved to Landlord Dave's. I moved back to an apartment. I moved back in with my parents, and then I moved into this house.
You're
I moved
done.
Seven times. I moved two times in my life, and then in the last, I guess, 5 years, I've moved seven times. So I'm dying here. I'm never moving again.
Well, it's a beautiful home to die in, Joe. I look
Thank
forward
you.
to you.
There's a lot of stairs, though. Katie's a little bit worried. Because when I was building the furniture, I'm telling you, I couldn't get off the ground. I was like, hand me that screwdriver. She's rolling shit over to me. I mean, I literally can't move. I'm so, so yeah, who knows? Maybe I get one of those, you know, the chairs you sit in, it takes you up the stairs.
Yeah, it's so funny. That's exactly what you're going to get, because I thought the exact same thing when I was walking up those stairs the last time. I almost said to Katie, I'm like, what are you going to do in 15 years when you can't get up those stairs?
15? Gee, yeah. Robbie, come on, I'll get up in 15.
But I think we're in the same boat that Tawanda is more handy than I am. She's going to be better at fixing something, building something. I basically almost bring nothing to the table.
I'm pretty good at assembling by instructions. I really am. Hanging stuff, I can't do it. But look at here. Katie hung all this shit in here.
Yeah. See, I can't hang anything. I can't do anything. You know what else I can't do? And this became really obvious. You know, I was at the Improv all week, and it was really, they were sold out shows. It was a great time. Obviously, New Year's Eve is exciting. And met a lot of people. A lot of people were taking pictures, and I was giving a lot of cards. I was pumping the murder mystery. It was a really great week for promo. And then people would tag me in these photos, and I realized that I just, see, I'm so afraid of over smiling, and then I look like a weirdo.
You look, don't mean to interrupt you, you sound like you were going somewhere, but you look like one of those old time photos where people felt like they weren't allowed to smile.
Yeah.
Just that it's in color.
Because
you know what I'm talking about, Robbie?
The picture, course. Yeah. I can't do a teeth smile unless I'm laughing. It has to be natural.
Right.
And then if I try to smile, just, you know,
yeah, that
feels
look,
bad.
It doesn't look real.
So then if I just do a blank normal look, I'm having a great time. I'm on stage, New Year's Eve. The show's over. Me and the headliner and the MC, we take a picture together. They're smiling. There's balloons everywhere. It's festive. They look happy. I look like I'm, you know, going back to go to the dentist.
Yeah, I saw that picture. It wasn't great. Have you tried to, like, just, like, laugh in the pictures?
Well, yeah, but then that's, you have to get the timing of the person taking the photo.
Let me see right now, you laughing. That looks bad.
Right. Now yeah. The smirk, I can do kind of a little half smirk, like,
yeah, yeah, but then you look
that's
kind of
my
you
best
look like
photo.
You look like me.
Yeah,
you look like a dick. Yeah,
exactly. Right, but that's my best photo face.
A smirk?
Yes, because I can't do a real smile, and my just if I have nothing expressionless, then I look that's a miserable look.
Yeah.
Especially juxtaposed whoever's next to me who's smiling.
I used to have a joke where I'd be like, God, I guess got new headshots, and I was like, this picture's horrible. This picture's, God, each picture was worse than the next, and I realized it's just what I look like.
Yeah.
You know, so that's just it. That's just probably your face. Now, what you're doing right now, you're just smiling.
Right.
I just saw it.
And it was okay?
Yeah, you can't do that.
I don't,
try to do it again.
I can't.
Dude, it's horrible, man.
It's so bad. I know.
You know, my son James does that too, where he does a bad smile when he gets his picture taken.
Yeah, I need to find a cool that I look Blue interested
steel.
In present. Yeah, I can't do sexy, but I just have to look like I'm happy to be here. It's cool. It's casual. It's fun.
Maybe you need some sort of prop to get you in the proper frame of mind.
A prop? What do you mean?
a red nose? What?
I recently had to get my picture taken for the new company website that's going up. And they told
this story's going to be great.
Bring something. They told
us.
Which
Dr. Gill is telling this story.
And they told us
just
to bring
your
something.
Material.
Yeah, there's no punchline. They told us to bring something that was important to us to take to be in the photograph with. And some people brought like footballs and stuff.
Will you bring your TV?
I brought my dog.
Of course.
And it made me, I think I felt like I was taking a good picture because I had something that I really loved with me.
Your dog was in your hands when you got your company picture taken?
That's correct.
Oh, you're one of those guys. Ugh.
God, your coworkers must hate you.
So no, that's funny that you say that because all my coworkers are like, wouldn't it be funny if we all got our picture taken with Robbie's dog? And guess what? Two other coworkers, at least one other coworker took my dog and got their picture taken with it.
How miserable was your dog that day? Like, Jesus,
he loved it.
Let me be. So if there's someone has some advice for me how to take a picture, is there a pose? Do I move my face? Do I tilt it? Because also, you know, I want to look thinner. There's got to be ways to do this.
You, of course, you need like Annie Leibovitz to take your picture, so she's going to capture
you. I don't think
that's
going to happen. Right?
Well, I'm just saying you have to have somebody who's good taking the picture. It's really not all about you. Sometimes it's about the photographer.
Oh, okay,
too.
But I'm...
You can't blame the photographer. Yeah. He's you can't always have that available to you. Sometimes people are just going to snap a shot of you and you're going to have to be able to smile.
But if you see one good picture of yourself, then you'll feel confident that you can take pictures again like that.
I have seen good pictures of me. It's just I don't know how to recreate it. Thanks,
damn.
Robbie. Jeez. What are you, Mac Bergson over there? Yeah, Mac's loving that line. See, yeah. And also, I'm trying to, if there's a lot of people, like this military thing, we have autograph cards that they made for us. So we're going to be signing. We're going to be taking pictures, hundreds of pictures. And there's also, I don't want to be taking 20 minutes per picture. You got to keep this moving.
By the way, did you ever get the headshots you needed against the white background?
I did. I just...
So Rob sends a text to Eric Woodworth, Tommy Simbazo, and Patrick Melton saying, "Hey, I need a picture of you guys for the military. It's for security against a white background." I was worried he was never going to get these pictures because Eric takes a picture, his shirt's not on. Tommy takes a picture of the head of his dick. It's just one after the other. Patrick sends one. He's got a red nose on and clown makeup. I mean, I'm like, this is funny, but, you know, eventually.
Yeah.
Oh, that reminds me. So.
Eventually I got them.
Yeah, I'm glad you got them. So, yeah. Tak Moffat, who was mentioned earlier in there, I felt bad because I kind of yelled at him, but I didn't think I was yelling at him. I thought I was yelling at Tommy and Eric. Sabaz and Eric Woodworth. Because what happened was we rode to Virginia Beach. We carpooled down there. When we left, Tak, who had ridden down with Tommy and Eric, was riding back with Rob, okay?
Yes.
I get a text from Tak saying, "Hey, where is everybody? I just woke up. Rob's not here. Nobody's here." Now, I literally thought they had conspired to fuck with me. I really believe. I knew it was a joke. But I can't not react. You understand? I can't say, "Oh, fuck you," because if there's the 1% chance that it's real, he's stuck back there. So I'm like, this is annoying because they're not getting me, but I have to react to it, okay? So I go, "Tak, are you?" He goes, "No, I'm just kidding." I said, "Okay." Well, then Tommy and Eric go, "All right, we're turning around." Now, I think they're fucking with me because I guess we'll be there in 4 hours. Like, they're continuing the joke. Meanwhile, they're not in on it either. But they were like, "Fuck it, we know it's not real," and they were just having fun at the expense or just making jokes about Tak saying that. So there's two things at play here. First of all, they weren't involved, and I thought they were the ones that were fucking with me, and I was mad because they didn't get me, but I had to call. But they weren't in on it either, but they would have left Tak there. They didn't care about the 1%.
Right.
They didn't care.
They didn't care.
They didn't care. They would rather say no. Too bad.
Hey, Haywood, you're back on the show. You went 0 for 4 in lines. Well, you got to look at my perspective. We went out and we got pretty drunk that night. And then, because we're in this condo, Tak and I are sharing this 2-bedroom condo and at the Virginia Beach Funny Bone. And I wake up at like 8 a.m. or something. And there's, maybe it was 9. Still too early for me. And you've texted me. Eric is texting me, and there's a group text amongst Tommy and Eric and Tak, and I don't know what's happening. All in, because I have Eric, "Are you there?" Where I tried to call, and I'm like, "What? Why are you calling me?" And then Tak saying he's left there, and then I was so confused that I thought it was all a joke. I thought that he had left with you guys. So I'm getting ready. I don't know. Who knows what I did.
So you had to know it was a joke because you were there. So you didn't have to worry about it the way that I had to at least address it.
I didn't think he was there. I thought he was gone.
Right, but you thought, but he was saying in the text that he was there, so you knew it was a joke because you were there in the reality.
I wasn't in my room though. I didn't go to his room. I didn't check.
But even if you went to check, you'd see if he was there or not.
Right, but I got up and was getting ready and showered and getting ready to leave. And this whole time he's there. And then he comes out. I'm like, "Holy shit."
Oh, so you almost did leave without him.
Well, I would have. I really thought he was he wasn't there. But now I'm thinking, did I do anything stupid? Thinking I was alone?
Oh, like sing?
Yeah. Or dance? No. I mean, was I out here half naked getting ready? I mean, that's because you don't know, right?
Do you remember?
I don't think so. But I mean, I know I didn't do anything egregious like masturbate or something. But, you know, that could have happened.
Of course.
So then
in a hotel room?
Yes.
Yeah, of course you're good.
And then we're driving back and you call me. Now, of course, it's my car. So the phone, it's going through the speakers and you say, I didn't like the talk joke. And I'm like, wait a minute. Does he not know that talk is right with me?
But then remember, I thought that it was Eric and Tommy.
Right. So now I'm still confused. And I'm like, wait, are you yelling at talk? Because he's right here.
Yeah, no, I know.
Yeah, but that even that confused me. The whole thing, I was just like, whoa.
But then talk came and goes, hey, I'm really sorry. I go, no, it's okay.
Right.
It's not a huge deal. All right. I was letting Rob know I was annoyed because those guys are going to think they got me when they did. Not that I was really upset about the joke, but that I had to deal with it. That's what made me mad, is that I couldn't just say, fuck you, I know you're lying. I had to deal with it.
And we already had to deal with Tom missing his flight. So we don't enough of the jokes, Tom. It's sensitive. But the irony of it all is that Tom is literally right on my way home where his mom lives. I mean, it made perfect sense for me to take him. I mean, I must have went off my path a half mile. I mean, it's that close. So why wouldn't I take him? He's in the same condo as I am.
And he just heard you masturbate.
Yeah, we're close now. So, all right, let's wrap this thing up. Any other nuggets? I'm trying to think.
Yeah, we on our next bonus show, we got to tell the end of the 98 Rock Robin Joe saga.
Yeah,
we'll do that.
We got that. Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to think if there's anything else. There's no shows to announce other than AMP in Bethesda. We'll be there on the 26th.
Yep.
But we got plenty of time to talk about that. Well, you guys are actually going to be overseas, and me, Justin Schlegel, Sean Gabbert, and Dylan Meyer are going to do, and you, Robbie, right?
In AMP, yeah. Yeah. I'll be there.
We're going to do the Newly Dead game for Valentine's Day, but I guess that doesn't make any sense.
No, well, we will be Valentine's Day at Magoobies doing the Newly Dead game. We'll be doing February 10th at Brightbox in Winchester, the Newly Dead game, and February 18th in VA Beach doing Back to the 80s. So it's nonstop.
That's right. Trying to make some money. I got to pay for this house.
Absolutely. Happy New Year, guys. Thank you for sticking with us another year. Again, really thank you for this studio. You guys made it happen. We hope that the show will continue to it will sound better going forward. To sound great, actually. We don't want better. We want it to sound fantastic because that's what you deserve. And Joe and I will be in the same room. Robbie, he won't be, but the connection will be better. We'll have Marcus.
It better be
next
for what
week.
We paid for that little box right there.
We paid a lot of money. So the show will hopefully be as the best it's ever been, and that's thanks to you guys. So happy New Year.
Later.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.